How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvers and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is Tuesday morning, December 7, 2010, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We have Raw to talk about from this past Monday night, the lead-in to the Slammies, and of course is the big show coming up next week. And got some Impact taping to talk about, some news as well. And Dave, what's going on?
Oh, seems like quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, I was reading Todd's Raw report, and he expressed his hatred for the John Cena angle, and I hadn't watched the last segment yet, so I thought, wow, that's an awfully strong statement there by Todd. Then when that segment was over, I was like, man, I hate this storyline. It's not as bad as Edge and Kane and Paul Bearer. That's much worse.
It's not.
But this is a horrible storyline.
Well, yeah, I thought that the way that they ended the show, I mean, it was different. I could see it coming, and it made absolutely no sense.
Well, I can't say it made no sense.
It made no sense. I mean, it's like you want to attack them 5-on-1, and then they choose that point to all walk out.
Sure. Because they knew they would be defeated. I don't know. The whole thing's stupid. I hate the storyline.
Well,
that's not.
It appears next week he's going to be back, so they can have a match at the pay per view. I mean, the deal I was told is that like you can't expect them to not have John Cena advertised in something on the pay per view as more than sitting. You know, I guess they could do one Cena on pay per view, but I guess they just don't want to do that one. That's just for house shows. So,
so why did you just waste all this time doing this angle then?
To try to sell buys for Survivor Series because they didn't have confidence in anything else.
So basically you, and
maybe it worked and maybe it didn't. We don't have the numbers in yet.
Well, regardless, even if it worked great, you just sacrificed future business.
Well, and since when has wrestling not done that?
I know, but this is just like, he wasn't even gone.
You expect after the last 20 years of constantly doing things that you know, short-term, that sacrifice long-term business in this industry, booking stipulations and then trying to figure out a way to make them the stipulations not work, not ever realizing that someday you will come, there will be a time where you do these big stipulations and people will sit at home and go, I don't believe in this stipulation at all and I'm not buying the show, and then you're fucked because now you have all these pay-per-views every month and you get, you know, one company gets 8,000 buys and one company gets, you know, 95,000 buys, and you can come up with all these great ideas for angles. And you still do the same numbers for the most part because no one believes in the steps. And
it was
one of those things. I mean, I saw this. You know, you see this coming for years and years and years, and nobody ever. It only got worse as you know time got on. I mean, that late '90s with Russo in WCW. I mean, come on. I mean, you were just screwing stipulations over left and right, and with no regard. You know, I mean, loser must retire match, and then like 2 weeks later, the guy's back.
Hey,
you know?
At least that was 2 weeks back in the good old days. We didn't even get 1 day. He wasn't even gone for 1 day. Not even a week. He was there the next night, and he never left.
Well, how many times did we see it with Jericho having to leave Raw forever?
Yeah, that's also, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even once. It was over and over and over again, and he kept coming back. And they didn't even have an explanation. He was just there every week. There was no explanation as to why. Well, I think, who knows? I don't even remember, you know. They didn't even try. So, you know, this one, at least there's a storyline. At least they just didn't forget about it and just, you know, had him back or just say that, you know, he got an injunction or something like that.
Yeah, what a great storyline. The guy doesn't care at all.
Yeah.
I got at least
say. Yeah, I know. In fact, he's happy.
Yeah. I got to say the one positive, if you can even call it a positive, is at least we now have a main eventer who actually acts like he's got some money. How many storylines have we seen where these guys are supposed to be main event superstars and they come across like they're practically in poverty? This guy at least has so much money. He has so much money, he doesn't care if he works or not. He's just going to buy tickets and fly all over the place and.
Hey, the one guy in Raw that's always in the front row at Raw, he doesn't have any money, and he flies all over the place. At least Cena can do, as the biggest fan of wrestling, is to...
Yeah, but that guy has a job, I'm sure. Cena doesn't even have a job right now.
Oh, yeah, but think of all the money he's made in the last 5 years.
I know! At least they're playing that up. The man's got some money.
Well, they don't actually say that. That's just that you just figured that out on your own, but they've never said that.
Well, you have to presume that based on the fact that he has no job, he's flying all over, and he doesn't care if he ever works again. Which, by the way, let me just say this one other thing here. We'll talk about the whole show in a second, but if that's the storyline, that he doesn't care whether he works here or not, he has enough money or whatever that he doesn't have to work, he just flies to the shows and has fun with all the fans.
Why was he having any problems in the first place mentally over this, all this anguish over everything that was going down?
And why does he care about the belt? What is the belt going to bring him? Money? He doesn't need that. Fame? He's got that. What's the belt all about?
To prove you're the best.
I guess.
Although the belt doesn't mean you're the best anymore, so yeah, you're right. What do you need the belt for now?
Absolutely no idea.
That's right. I mean, there was a time when the belt proved you're the best. Now the belt's just, you know...
Now you win it with the briefcase.
It's one step up from opening up a box and getting the belt like they do in TNA.
Yeah, you cash in a briefcase on an injured guy and steal it.
Yeah.
That's something to want to challenge for. Let's talk about this show. Then I want to talk about Impact, because I was looking through those Impact spoilers and, as usual, scratching my head. But we'll get into that in a moment. Open up with a recap of the angle from last week with Lawler. And Lawler and Punk are sitting there at the table by themselves. Punk basically said, you know, you almost did it, Jerry, and if it hadn't been for Cole, you may be the WWE champion right now. And then out came Cole. And he did this big, long heel speech about how he didn't know why he did what he did. He made a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. This, that, and the other thing.
It was because The Miz was like a son to him.
Yeah.
And so he just wanted him to keep the title, and he just got out of control.
And he just saw all these chairs and tables everywhere, and he couldn't help himself.
Yeah.
So Lawler was upset that he did not apologize, and Cole then managed to explain that...
It was actually Lawler's fault anyway.
Yeah, we're supposed to be journalists. We're supposed to report the story, not be the story. Last week, you had to become part of the story. You had to be Jerry Lawler. You had to steal the Miz's spotlight. So really, he said, I think that you owe me an apology, not vice versa. Which, of course, got tremendous heat. And Lawler got in the ring to give him what he owed him, he said. And that's when the GM dinged in, and Punk got the email. An email basically commanded both of them to shake hands, cease and desist on any physicality. If anybody physically got involved in the other, that person would be fired, I believe the GM said, and demanded they shake hands. So they did. Everybody hated that.
That was so lame.
Gets worse.
So lame. I mean, the one thing is any... Of course, now, granted, Lawler's not your top babyface, so he can do that, you know, but any top babyface historically... would never in that position shake hands. I mean, because if they did, they would no longer be a top babyface.
Well, he shook hands and then refused to let go and called out Orton to ultimately do his dirty work. But Orton came out and called out Miz. They had an argument back and forth, and Orton wanted his shot tonight. Miz said, you're getting it at the pay-per-view. Riley offered to face Orton later on tonight, and Orton said, fine. Noted that injury or not, he was going to still be able to do one very important thing. And at that point, Lawler shoved Cole, which to me would be physicality. And Orton gave Cole the RKO, left him for dead. Cole was not seen on the show again. I hope they've got somewhat of an explanation for this next week, because that seemed like blatantly breaking the GM's rules. So, I don't know.
They never talked about it again.
They never mentioned it again, no? Lawler just did the show. I mean, maybe the storyline is supposed to be that Cole is the GM and he was so injured that he could not rule that Lawler was fired, and they'll do that next week or something. I don't know.
How can you do that? How can you send an email when you're standing in the ring without a computer?
Well, he's got his own Riley.
Okay.
He's got a secret helper.
Yeah. I mean, how does he even talk to him, though?
Well,
I mean, we saw him there. He wasn't talking to anyone.
His partner knew trouble was coming.
I guess so. I don't know. I thought that something would have been a lot more effective if Cole was in the ring and Lawler was about to hit him and Cole pulled out a piece of paper and it was like some sort of at least like a legal injunction, you know, instead of that lame general manager thing. No, I guess it all ends up, I guess it's just the same thing either way. I just thought that the general manager doing that was just so stupid, but whatever.
You know, the one thing about the deal, I thought that Cole was great heel. I thought Lawler was great in his role. My only complaint, aside from just the way that they blew the whole thing off, but as far as performances was, and I hate to critique Jerry Lawler here, but Jerry Lawler, on his 61st birthday, got a shot at the WWE Championship, and he was a rung away from winning the belt, and Michael Cole screwed it up for him. He may never get another shot again. And I thought that he wasn't nearly angry enough in this situation. You know what I mean? He was remarkably calm based on what happened.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, there, I just
Plus,
felt...
the other thing is that he should be clamoring for a rematch.
Yeah. He should have wanted to kill somebody out there.
He basically had the match won if he wasn't screwed.
Yeah.
So he should be... I mean, why is Randy Orton getting the title shot? In fact, there should be something where you know, he thinks that he deserves the shot and Randy Orton deserves the shot.
Yeah,
I mean,
they open up the show and Punk's just saying, man, you almost had it, and if it hadn't been for Cole and this and that, and Lawler's just like, yep, thanks for that. It's like, yeah. You accept this? You're fine? I don't know. Maybe it's justification.
Hey, maybe they told him not to get mad because he's not getting a title shot at the pay-per-view. The funny thing is that I think that it would probably draw more than Orton at this point.
Oh, I'm sure it would for one
well,
night.
Well, then if that's the case, then why the hell did they give it as Orton?
Well, because they probably don't feel the same way that we do.
I know. The whole Kevin Dunn, they've got to be young. If they're not young, it's not going to sell. I know. I've heard. I heard it all morning today, so, you know.
Oh, God. DiBiase and Maryse against Daniel Bryan and Bella A. Maryse and Ted are...
It was Brie was the original.
So I guess it would be Bella B. Regardless, the other Bella was unaware that her sister was teaming with Daniel, and she was kind of upset about it, which, of course, led to them trading places and working together to win the match, and then both leaving together with Daniel. So I don't know what the deal is, but Maryse and DiBiase, I guess, broke up afterwards. She gave him the hand, and the best thing in the whole deal was afterwards when Josh calmly said, I don't understand any of these relationships, and can't put it better myself. So there you go.
By the way, this was Josh's tryout for the possibility of hosting SmackDown.
Hosting SmackDown?
Or whatever the word, the Todd Grisham role.
I see.
Yeah, Todd could be replaced at any moment now.
This was not the best match to bring that up, as Punk referred to Daniel Bryan as Bryan Daniel. He was corrected, and then Josh immediately called Punk Miz. He was corrected, and I was like, my God, this could be a long night. But
you know what? They were good the rest of the night.
Yeah, ended up actually very good.
I thought this was Punk's best. Punk was really good tonight.
Yeah, they were all very good. Punk was actually holding it together.
He's getting the feel of this. He's going to be like really, really good, and then he's going to have to go back to wrestle right when he really gets going. I can see this right now. I'm almost wondering if he should just stay there.
Well, I would not argue that quite yet. He's still got a career ahead of him for the time being. Had an exclusive interview with Wade Barrett, they claim, but instead it was Otunga, who was in a hotel room. He said that Barrett was on the way to the building. Apparently the hotel room was like next door to the arena, since he ended up in the building like 10 minutes later. But he said they had a plan to deal with Cena. There was a knock on the door. He said, my food's here. Of course, we were supposed to think it was Cena, but it actually was the food. But that was a swerve, and after the guy left...
Bad food,
so he kicked the dude out, and then the door was a knock again, and he figured it was the guy, maybe with fresh food, I don't know, but it was actually John Cena with a big grin. He attacked him. Husky ran in to make the save. Cena beat up Husky. Otunga escaped, and that was your hotel room brawl.
Yeah. Did you recognize the waiter?
I didn't recognize the waiter.
Flash Flanagan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How about that? Well, they were in Louisville.
Yeah, they're in Louisville.
Harry Smith and Tyson Kidd.
By the way, I guess Tyler Black was there, but then they didn't do nothing with him at all. He was all excited, you know, that they brought him in for TV, and then...
That's why you don't tweet this information, Mr. Black.
Yeah, I know.
That was a mistake on his part.
Boy, was it. It's funny, because... When when someone told me that, actually right during the first commercial break of Raw, somebody goes, you know, that Tyler Black started. I go, really? What happened? And he goes, oh, he tweeted that he was going to be there. And I go, oh, so I figured that he was going to be like, you know, getting his head shaved, you know, after that one.
Yeah. Don't do that, everyone.
Yeah.
Harry and Tyson, did you see the match they had on Superstars?
No, I have not, but I have. I was actually going to watch it.
It was pretty damn great.
I heard that match is what got them this match. They had a really good match on Superstars. So somebody actually must have watched Superstars and go, you know what? We need to book them on Raw. Now here's the problem.
And give them two minutes.
They gave them 10 minutes on Superstars to have a really good match, and so then when they put them on Raw, they gave them 2 minutes, right? So it's like it's unbelievable how they couldn't duplicate what they did the first time.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen this, find it. It's on Superstars. There's a great homage to the Davey Boy Smith Bret Hart match that does not involve one guy being fucked up going into the match. But you'll enjoy
anyway.
It. You'll enjoy it. So Tyson has a new giant, Diesel 2010. It's the former Jackson Andrews. I mean, made up look to look exactly like a short-haired Diesel from 95. So,
Who's the guy that they want? They wanted Vance Archer in that role first.
Well,
and they wanted Daniel Rodimer in that role even before that.
Now they've got.
They've been looking for the new Kevin Nash.
Why would you do that?
What, want a new Kevin Nash?
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
I can understand wanting like a new witty Kevin Nash, but a new in-ring Kevin Nash? Who needs that?
Not I.
Not I. That's
especially this one. He
showed little.
Well, he is better than he was 6 months ago. That's what I've heard.
Well, that's at least a positive.
This is the way it was explained to me. Is because when I saw him, he was really bad. But I always knew he would get called up because you know,
he's
guys
big.
Like that get called up. Mm-hmm. You know, what he reminded me of is not Kevin Nash but Kurgan.
I guess.
Yeah.
I saw Kevin Nash throughout everything he did.
Well, I mean, that's the idea is Kevin Nash, but the deal is that he has shown improvement, but he's clearly not ready.
Maybe they'll call him Devin Nash, and they could bring in Nash at some point to be his father.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, they had a match. It was 2 minutes long or something like that. Harry won. And
Harry didn't
I'm
win.
Sorry,
Tyson
won
clean.
Harry won on Superstars. Tyson won here.
Yeah.
And reverse rolling cradle pinned him clean. They didn't even use the giant in the match. They used him afterwards as he beat up Harry. But it's a tall man, and they put him with a short man, so it made him look even taller. So
yeah, until he went with Harry, but he still looked tall next to Harry too, because I think he's
a tall dude.
He's I think he's like 6'9" or something.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Gabriel and Slater were with Barrett in the back, worried about Cena. Gabriel said his neck was still screwed up from Cena attacking him last week. Tunga showed up and said Husky was hurt. And he said, Wade, your plan didn't work. And Wade said, it's not the plan, it's the execution. So he must have been listening to this judging argument.
That's
that
what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, had all this weekend. So he told them to concentrate on their title defense and said he was going to call out Cena later. And he said Otunga needed to watch so he could learn how to take care of business. And Otunga said, you better take care of business or you may have a mutiny on your hands. And as it turned out, he was correct.
Yeah.
So he had four-way for the titles. And this is another terrible fact, but when I read that it was a four-way for the titles, I actually got the results before I saw the match that Santino and Kozlov had won the tag titles. And for 5 straight minutes, I racked my brain trying to remember who the champions were. But Nexus, everybody. So anyway.
You didn't know that?
I was not like
the freaking TNA Knockouts champions where nobody should know.
I was like, the Hart Dynasty were the champions. Who beat the Hart Dynasty, for Christ's sake?
They've been champions for 3 weeks or something. I mean,
wow, three whole weeks?
It's almost like 3 weeks now is almost like a year in the
How
old days.
How can a man forget that?
What?
Yeah. Anyway, so Yoshitatsu is underrated. Thought I'd throw that out there.
Oh, no shit. That guy's great.
So anyway,
he was great on ECW, and then like when they did the thing, I knew he was screwed when they stopped ECW.
He's still
and they
employed.
Haven't given him he got over in ECW. He had great matches in ECW, and then as soon as he got on Raw, they never gave him a chance.
Yeah, pin first, Usos pin second. They wanted Tamina to stay. She wanted to stay with Santino. This caused him to Santino up. Cena came through the crowd, distracted Gabriel. And Santino hit him with the Cobra and won the championship in Louisville, his old home. And then all of the baby faces, including Kozlov and Tamina, did the trumpet dance. Everybody went nuts. And what the hell? The people loved it. So they're your new tag champs.
Yeah, and she kissed him again.
Mm-hmm.
This is the slowest moving relationship in wrestling.
That's fine. Usually they've broken up by now. At least we're getting something. Plugged season 4 of NXT only.
Hey, Melina and John Morrison, they followed up on that pretty good.
That's also slow moving.
Yeah, so slow moving that it's dead.
Yeah. Sheamus came out for his coronation in a cape and crown, looking absolutely ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
And sat in his his throne and did a kingly promo talking about peasants, this and that.
Gave Irish history.
Yeah?
I don't know if it's accurate because I didn't grow up learning Irish history, but sounded good.
Now it's looking like it may be over a month before Hunter returns.
Yeah, probably after this pay-per-view. It looks like they're going to go with a rematch with Morrison, you know, the third match. Please don't let any MMA fans know about this.
Oh, God. Tell me about it.
And then probably go with Hunter after that.
So he did this promo, and Morrison came out, and they had an argument back and forth, which led to Morrison explaining that he had beaten Sheamus at Survivor Series. Sheamus had beaten him at King of the Ring. They were 1-1, and therefore, Morrison was the better man.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Another man who should not be judging right there. So they had a brawl. Morrison threw him into the throne. As soon as I saw that, I presume they were having a throne match, meaning chairs at the pay-per-view. I guess we'll find out. But that's your big storyline for the next week or so for the pay-per-view. Layla came out, Lay Cool came out to do commentary, and completely buried by the announcers throughout this entire deal was Melina and Natalya. Natalya beat her, and afterwards the deal was Lay Cool attacked Natalya. They cut to a shot of Melina just walking to the back. Lawler said maybe she should come back and help, but she did not, because apparently she'll be turning heel down the road here. There's something that'll turn this company around.
Well, she's probably better as a heel at this point. She was doing nothing as a babyface.
I'll say. Slammy's next week, 3 hours, so you can all look forward to that. Miz did a, what I suppose was supposed to be a pep talk, but it was more him talking about how awesome he was and how Riley had better beat Randy tonight. And he said that earlier in the show, he explained that he had been given the opportunity to choose the stipulations for the pay-per-view, and he said he was not going to tell Orton the stipulations, he was going to show him. So, Orton and Riley, quick match. Orton was setting up for the RKO when Miz hit the ring for the DQ. Hit him with the skull-crushing finale, got a table out from under the ring, was about to give Orton a skull-crushing finale through it, but Orton slipped out, grabbed him, he wiggled free, he bailed. Orton saw Riley alone in the ring and ended up picking him up and giving him a powerbomb through the table. So it's Miz versus Orton for the championship in a tables match at the pay-per-view, and I suppose everybody probably knows what that means.
Yeah, it means that they don't want Orton to do a job.
Yeah. We had Wade coming out for the big promo here at the end, and he said he was going to do something he had never done before, never admitted, and that was that he was wrong. He said he assumed that Cena was a man of his word, because the stipulations were free or fired, and Cena had been fired. He should never show his face again, but he kept coming back because I guess he was a liar. So Cena came out. He told him to read my lips. This is never going to work. I will not ever rehire you. And Cena said, well, you know, doesn't matter. I don't care. It's great. Said, I just fly here. I tailgate with all these wacky fans. Come in and spend all my time planning on how I'm going to beat you guys up. I don't care.
Did they really tailgate in front before Raw?
I would presume not, but the fans cheered like it was one giant tailgate party.
Yeah.
So Wade said, well, let me ask you this. If I do rehire you, how can you guarantee you will stop attacking me and my men? Which, by the way, how ridiculous is that? So Cena was like, well, listen, if I come back, I may stop attacking Nexus, but I will never stop attacking you. He said, if you were a man of your word, if you were an honorable man, you'd rehire me right now. We'd settle our differences in the ring like men tonight. So anyway, Wade finally called down Nexus to beat him up, but they bailed one at a time. Husky, then Slater, then Gabriel, then Otunga. Storyline is, they are so sick of John Cena beating them up 1-on-5 that they refuse to do anything for Wade Barrett until he rehires John Cena.
So he can continue to beat them up.
Yeah, that's storyline, everybody. So anyway, Cena went to give Barrett, he attacked him. They're now beating on each other. Went to give him a FU through the table, but Barrett slipped away and ran off. And show ended with the ultimatum. Nexus said, you either hire back Cena next week or we walk. So
Barrett's kicked out of Nexus.
Or Barrett's out of Nexus. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So there you go. He'll probably be back.
McKilligutty wasn't even there.
That's
they,
right.
They had him selling for the injuries for a week.
Claimed he was hurt so bad that he couldn't even show up this week. So
yeah,
there you go. I'll talk about these impact spoilers here.
Good luck.
It's always good luck. All right.
I know Joe. I don't know if he may have been backstage. So I mean, or as far as like in the skit or something. But as best I could tell, no Joe.
Joe and Rhino without contracts right now. Rhino may be done based on this show.
I think Rhino is done based on this show. I think this was it for him.
Yeah.
And I think Jeff Hardy. I don't think was there. Jeff Hardy wasn't there either. Well, he's preparing for his court case, I guess.
He's got some important business to attend to right now.
Yeah.
So to open up with Tara having a concert, Generation Me is her.
That sounds so brutal.
Boy band, yeah. So Mickey came out to interrupt her, but Generation Me broke it up and held James so Tara could attack her. But Eric Young made the save for Mickey James, which led to James and Tara in a cage match. Because you see, yesterday they were allowed to fight anywhere, literally in the world. And that leads to a match where they are not allowed to leave the ring under any circumstances.
And it's on TV.
I don't get it. So Bischoff yelled at AJ for losing the title. Rhino came in, wanted a contract. Bischoff gave him a piece of paper which read, no. And then they beat him up, and that was the end of Rhino.
Yeah, I think that sounds like it's it. Well, I mean, I the impression I got last week was that Rhino wasn't going to sign a new deal. So
what if
I guess
go back to WWE like at the Rumble?
You think? I don't know if they'll take him back.
They might. If he came back, I'll bet he'd have some awesome matches for a while.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that, they got rid of him, who knows?
Yeah.
You can't predict what they're going to do.
Time heals all wounds.
Yeah, time heals all wounds.
Guys that have been gone for a while may look like stars again.
Yeah.
Had Jarrett, Abyss, Bischoff, and Fortune coming out, called out Morgan, who refused to get in the ring. Said next week it's Morgan and Anderson, with the winner getting the shot at Hardy. And Morgan said, well, Anderson can't wrestle. He's got a concussion. Bischoff said if he doesn't wrestle, he'll be fired. So anyway, after losing twice, Morgan's getting a third potential shot here.
Yeah.
Bubba came out with a fake D-Von, saying he could team with anyone and be just as good as Team 3D. They proceeded to lose to Shannon Moore and Jesse Neal when the fake D-Von was pinned. Odd way to build up this feud.
I'll say.
Especially coming on the heels of their awesome promo last week.
Well, they're going backwards.
Of course. Of course they are. Motor City Machine Guns beat Gunner and Murphy. Not only did Gunner and Murphy wrestle everyone, but they could not even beat them. It was via DQ when Beer Money attacked the Guns.
Yeah, so it's just a setup, Beer Money and the Guns.
Morgan asked Anderson if he was going to wrestle, and Anderson said, sure. And they began arguing about taking care of concussions. We had
Anderson was already wrestling over the weekend.
Yeah, he did an indie show this weekend.
Yeah, in Blizzard Brawl in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
So presumably he actually is cleared.
I suppose we should presume
nothing, actually. But
yeah, I don't know.
Hopefully he's cleared. So we had Angelina and Velvet against Daphne and Sarita. First match in the tournament for the vacant knockout tag titles. I guess Hamada is done.
Yeah.
I presume.
She's done. She can wrestle, but she doesn't look good enough. That's their issue right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Douglas Williams beat Abyss to keep the TV title, and then Styles laid him out with the Styles Clash, so thank God that feud must continue.
Yeah.
Very happy about that. And then Mickey James beat Tara in a cage match main event. So I should presume.
She would, in theory, set up Mickey James and Madison Rain for the title, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Presume
although,
nothing.
Although they had a match, the pay-per-view match, wasn't the whole idea that that if Tara won in that match, which she did, that eliminated Mickey James as a contender.
Thinking too much.
I know.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some news here. What is new with New Year's in Japan?
Marius Aromski is going to defend the welterweight title against Sakuraba, which means Sakuraba's got to move to 170, which is new, and I don't know. I guess it's their, they feel like they got a chance to do something with Sakuraba still.
Great.
Yeah, he shouldn't be fighting.
He shouldn't have been fighting for a long time now.
Yeah, many years. And I there's talk of Kawajiri and Josh Thompson, which would just be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be like a match of the year.
Well, that would mean no Josh Thompson on the
San Jose show against Gilbert Melendez, yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. They don't have a card anyway, so.
Well, they're working on something.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Well, I mean, I know they were working on some heavyweight matches that they haven't been able to announce, and then Nick Diaz is going to be on the card, and they wanted him against Mayhem, but they have reached a stalemate on the weight issue. So that match is right now looking like it's not happening. So I don't know who Nick's going to be fighting. But Nick, you know, I wrote about it about a week or so ago, but Nick wanted it at 178, and Mayhem said that he would come down to 183, but he didn't want to go below 183. And somehow that's where it ended.
Hmm.
So there you go.
Well, there you go. The January 22nd show for UFC also, the Florian match. What happened?
Florian's hurt, so Melvin Gillard is facing Evan Dunham in the new main event, which...
Any injury update? What was it?
I actually don't know.
Hmm.
I'll check.
And then, any other big news from Strikeforce or UFC? Or actually, I should ask you about the countdown... I presume was during...
I watched a lot of it. I thought it was very good, but I didn't watch the whole thing.
Yeah,
but...
I was unaware that it was airing at 7 p.m. this time.
Oh, you need to... I've been writing it every day.
I know. I actually read your thing after it was over, so...
Okay.
Yeah, it sucks. But yeah, so...
Well, it's going to replay on, I think, Thursday?
Thursday on Versus. It's on Versus.
They have a midweek replay.
Yeah, Thursday
it was,
on
it was,
Versus.
It was very good. And I also... there was also a conference called This Morning... And George St. Pierre was so confident. I have to say that. He was probably the most confident I've ever seen him. And Koscheck was Koscheck. I mean, he's, you know, just over and over daring George not to take him down, which, of course, means that he's hoping that it turns into a wrestling match because that's how Josh would think and say.
Hmm.
They were kind of both saying that. And all George was talking about is how he's learned all this boxing from Freddie Roach, which to me meant, okay, I'm going to take Josh down. That's my goal. So they both said they was going to that they wanted to stand and bang. And Josh said that Freddie Roach cannot change your chin or something like that. He can't strengthen your chin is what he said. He said how he's now he's a stronger puncher than he's ever been, and Josh was he cannot strengthen your chin. So it was good.
You know what's interesting is...
I asked both of them, if they were to retain the title, how often would they like to defend it? And St. Pierre said twice a year, and Josh said every week.
Every week.
He'd like to defend it every week if he could. Then he finally said that maybe four or five times a year.
Now...
Every week? He should go work for Vince.
Hey, may as well.
Yeah.
Now, the odds, do you have those yet?
The odds, well, George is a heavy favorite. Let me just...
Like, how heavy? Because I know that, like, among all of my friends, I mean, nobody gives Koscheck even, like, a prayer.
He's got a prayer, but he's certainly going to be the big underdog. It's 4.5, 5-1. It's pretty big odds.
Hmm.
I mean, it's just... You know, George is just such a great fighter. I mean, Josh Koscheck is a very good fighter, but George is really a great fighter, and... looks like most of the money is still coming in on George, even with those odds, which is pretty scary. Yeah, people are going to buy the show just to see Josh Koscheck get his ass kicked because I think people really believe he's going to, and he may.
So that, of course, is Saturday, and we'll do a preview later on this week. And let's jump into the mailbag here, unless there's any other news that I haven't gotten to today.
Let me see. Bellator looks like it's going to be on FX, which is actually pretty huge.
Hmm.
You know, because FX is bigger than Spike or Sci-Fi. It's not as big, not close to as big as USA. But the thing is in a, you know, on Bellator, and, you know, you were talking about Thursday night prime time also, you know, like Thursday night at 8 for, you know, for 13 straight weeks or 12 straight weeks. I don't know the starting date. I think probably February, though. This hasn't been officially announced, but it's expected to be announced very shortly. And the I don't know how they got that, because the for FX and Primetime...
A lot of unanswered questions, actually, about Bellator, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But FX and Primetime, I mean, you've got to do a real rating, or else you're a flop on that station. This is not some station like even Spike where... You know, an 06 is the station average. I mean, this is station average is a 1. And I just don't know if there's a, you know, if an MMA group in primetime on FX can go out there and do 1s every Thursday. Probably, I mean, I would be very skeptical that they would even come close. Having said that, this is a very good station and an excellent time slot. And the fact is that the last season of Bellator, the last two seasons of Bellator, really. I mean, the TV is really good. It's the most underrated TV out there. And I don't know if people are going to watch it, but if they start watching it week in and week out, it's a pretty darn good show.
We actually should, before we get into the emails, do a quick update on what actually supposedly happened with Jeff Hardy on Sunday.
He was exhausted. He was, I don't know exactly what happened, but they saw the state he was in, and they were going to pull him from the show because they thought that he was in no condition to perform. And he protested and said, in fact, that he was tired because he was coming back from that trip that we talked about from Abu Dhabi, which is a 20-hour flight. And then he had not fully recovered, and I think he did a personal appearance, and he was just exhausted. And anyway, that's what happened. So he's still the champion, and he got to work with Matt Morgan.
All right, into the mailbag. This person says, "What exactly or when exactly did WWE start scripting promos? Is it really a time thing, or do they have no confidence in some of the guys? And does Triple H have scripted promos?"
Well, everyone's got scripted promos. Now Triple H is one of the guys. You know, Shawn Michaels is one. Chris Jericho was one. Cena's one. Where they pretty much can. You know, they pretty much have the ability to go off the promo and or change the promo. I mean, they got to get the bullet points in. So yeah, you know, he's got that leeway where he can do his own promo to a degree. As far as when they started scripting promos, I mean, word for word, it's been a while. You know, I mean, it's been like, I don't know exactly when the transition was made, but I'm thinking it's probably close to 10 years.
I would say probably, yeah, late 90s, early part of the 2000s would be my guess, just based on a lot of things, actually. Yeah. This person here says, any update on Ricky Steamboat's health?
He's back working, so he's not 100%, I don't think, but he's doing very well. He's doing better. He's doing better, yeah.
All things considered.
Yeah.
Any idea on what Michael Buffer was paid by WCW? Was he paid by the appearance, a yearly salary? I heard recently that he makes 7 figures for gigs these days. Wondering how much ATM Eric paid him back in the day.
Yeah, well, he wasn't making 7 figures. He was making ten grand a show.
Is he really making 7 figures today? Like over $1 million to announce a show? Because I'm in the wrong gig if that's
figures?
The case.
No, it's absolutely not. No. Of course not.
5 figures, maybe.
Yeah, 5 figures. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if on these big boxing shows that HBO pays him. If he was getting 10 grand for wrestling, he's probably getting that, and maybe even more on some of the bigger shows.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can't see him getting 6 figures in that for a ring announcer. Why?
You'd have to be out of your mind.
Yeah, come on. I mean, I got all the respect in the world for – I think he's a cool ring announcer, but no ring announcer is worth 6 figures on a show.
Person says, what were your thoughts on when Hogan burned a copy of The Observer during the World War III pay-per-view? How did others react, and did you hear about it beforehand? What was the rationale behind doing it besides stroking Hogan's ego at the time? I don't even know if it stroked Hogan's ego. I don't know what it was.
They just lost their mind. I don't even know what it was either. I mean, when it was going on, I started laughing, but so I guess that was my reaction, so I was laughing. But as far as why, I don't know. I didn't know ahead of time. You know, I just remember people calling me up that night, and it was mostly people just laughing about. I mean, the silliness of it, because they went in there, And there's Randy Savage with one arm half the size of the other.
That's right.
You know, going out there with Hogan going, we worked all the boys. His arm is fine. Because I think, you know, he torn his tricep or bicep. I forget which. I think it was tri. And then, you know, his arm is fine. It's completely healthy. And then he wrestled Luger. And he lost to an arm bar because his arm was injured.
Yeah.
So it was like, what the hell was this? And I mean, it's the beginning of the pay-per-view. And it says, and they went out there and they said, the Giant is not going to win the Battle Royal. And it's like, why would you do this?
There were a lot of questions back in the day, and it only got worse from there.
Yeah, it did only get worse.
That was like 1996.
Yeah, this was the beginning of their obsessions and problems and things like that.
Oh, man, this is quite the... this will open a little deal here. Long story, you may have to keep it short. What was the deal with Hogan laying down for Sting at Halloween Havoc 1999? It's billed as the big return match. And if I paid money to see it, I would have been incredibly pissed off.
Yeah, you know, their buy rates started going down at that point, and who would have thought?
Shocking.
I know, you have the main event, and you do that kind of a finish, and you would think that, you know... The idea was, didn't they... It was set up like Sting and Goldberg, and it was they thought it was some creative way to set up a Sting-Goldberg match, I think.
This person says, Dave recently made mention that Brock Lesnar would like to do WrestleMania if he can. I can't figure out why Brock would want to do it.
Seems $3 million. There's your answer.
Yeah, $3 million for, well, I mean...
It may only be $2 million, but it's like $2 to $3 million. That's your answer.
Yeah. Seems like he says here, doesn't need the money, it doesn't matter. If you offered $3 million for a night's work, maybe a little bit more, you'll take it.
Hey, his window of making money, this kind of money, is not long. He's 33 years old, and you're going to pay him like $2 or $3 million to do a pro wrestling match gladly.
Or a referee.
I don't know if he's going to get that much for a referee, but maybe. But I mean, just whatever it is, yeah.
He also says, is it possible with the loss to Velasquez, he may not want to do MMA anymore?
That's an interesting question. I guess time will find out, you know, I mean, if he wants to do it or not. I mean, he's not exactly rushing to get back in. So I don't know what that means. You know, he's just out there. It's hunting season.
Some awesome photos of him hunting, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the priority. It's hunting season. After hunting season, then, you know, we'll see where the priorities are.
Finally here, when Randy Savage lost a career-ending match to the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania 7, what was the reason for Savage's layoff and move to the announce booth? Was he really planning on winding down the in-ring career? Was it a situation where he needed time off for some reason, and the plan all along was to keep him off TV and simply reinstate him later in the year? Seems as though he was slotted in for a feud with Jake Roberts only after Warrior was fired and Sid suffered an injury, which leads me to believe his in-ring return was not planned all that far in advance.
Well, you'd be right. When he... took the time off. I mean, there was a plan that he would probably come back at some point, but he wanted a long sabbatical. They wanted him and Elizabeth wanted to have kids, and it just didn't happen. And then he ended up getting a divorce. And you know, I mean, I think even if they didn't, he probably would have come back. But yeah. Wait a minute. He came back before the divorce, didn't he?
I think he did.
Yeah, because they did the marriage at. Okay, wait. They did the marriage at SummerSlam of 91, and then they the match made in heaven pay per view, and then it was pretty shortly after that when they had their real life split up. But the now the retirement was at Mania of 91, right? With the, where he lost the Ultimate Warrior at the LA show. So the wedding thing, or the wedding thing, they did the Jake Roberts angle.
Actually, they may have. I think they were divorced in 92.
They got divorced in 92. No,
okay,
yeah. They
so
did.
He was still a color commentator in 93.
Yeah, he was wrestling, but he was wrestling by then, just not regular, not full time.
Let's see here.
The retirement thing was because they wanted to have kids,
yeah.
And he was going to take some time off, and then probably come back at some point. I mean, that was which probably would have been. I mean, I'm guessing the way everything came down, you know, they had Jake do the thing at the wedding, and that was the perfect place to do the angle. So, you know, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Trying to look at the entire timeline here. But, yeah, it was right around the same time, it appears, that all of that went down. So, there you go. Maybe we'll have a more specific... I'm sure somebody will email a little more specific deal tomorrow. So, anyway, the new issue of Figure Four is coming out tomorrow. New issue of The Observer coming out on Wednesday. And a lot of shows coming up, obviously. We've got a new Observer Radio on Wednesday. We'll have another one this weekend on Saturday night. It's going to be a big night. St. Pierre Koscheck, UFC. We'll be doing a preview on this coming Wednesday, and maybe something Friday as well. We'll find out what's happening. But a lot of stuff coming up, so check it out, and we'll talk to you again very soon.